Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alan Green, 106 days in, Alan. Thoughts on the beautiful city of Pittsburgh and your time at Pitt so far?
Well, hey, Pat, good morning. Thanks for having me on. 106 days feels more like 6 days. It's gone by incredibly fast, but it's been wonderful. I've had a chance to meet a lot of great people, business folks, our donors, obviously our staff, our coaches, and our student athletes. And I can't say enough. I've gotten lost in the city on purpose, by the way, just to explore and see this wonderful landscape and this beautiful city that I'm very thankful and happy to call home.
You know, obviously, Alan, you take over this job in the midst of a very changing landscape in college athletics. We'll talk about House and all the stuff you're dealing with there, but conference realignment has seemingly taken a backseat to all of this conversation. But I wanted to get your thoughts on the importance of the ACC's kind of renewed deal with ESPN through 2036 and what that means for Pitt and the league.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Simply put, right, ESPN, there's nobody who does it better. They are the gold standard when it comes to live sports and when it comes to sports coverage. So we're incredibly happy to partner with them. Congratulations to our commissioner, Jim Phillips, who did an excellent job in navigating these really unique waters right now. But what it signals is a clear commitment to the ACC and to our long-term future. And it provides additional significant value for not just our conference, obviously, but it trickles down to our schools. So we're really excited to remain partners with ESPN and be a part of that family and the ABC family and the Disney family, and look forward to providing some really good football, basketball, and other sports to help provide our value to the conference and to the platform.
We're talking to Pitt Director of Athletics Alan Green, who's kind enough to join the program this morning. Alan, our listeners, we try to do a decent job of providing national perspective on college athletics. We've had Ross Dellinger on the show and others that have talked about the House settlement and what it means for the industry at large. Just maybe your thoughts, and if you could describe where things stand in generalities for Pitt fans out there that are wondering what's going on, and then more importantly, how Pitt stays at the top of the competitiveness in college athletics.
I think about this every day, and so does our staff. And we work on plans and strategies to try to put us in position, knowing that the world changes every day. I think for the general fan to have an understanding, this is a really complex, layered, and we use the word ever-changing quite a bit. And I'm going to try to keep my answer relatively brief, but it's a really challenging time in college athletics right now. You know, there's the House settlement is one that is capturing, like, that's the catchword right now, if you will. It's the catch case. It's the catch settlement. Just last night or yesterday, we got word that the NCAA settled some other cases in preparation to the House case, or at least is getting close to settling. So each time there's a new data point, and each time there's a new decision, it in theory alters the outcome. So right now our industry is preparing for the approval of the House settlement, which will allow us to share revenues in theory with a cap of up to $20.5 million across our board as we see fit. But there's so many layers behind all that. So I would say, to our fan base, and thinking about watching the news, if you will, is don't overreact to any news that you see that comes out until we get to somewhere around mid-April where the judge decides to settle the case or not settle or approve the House settlement or not. And then if approved, which we're assuming is going to happen and preparing for, there's a whole nother set of circumstances that have to be outlined and rules of engagement that we have to learn about that we're actually developing right now as we speak before we can go and implement something. So there's still a lot that's going to occur. And the difficult part for us as practitioners is that that strategy has to be implemented in a very short period of time. So there's lots of unknowns that are still out there. I hope that was broad enough, Pat, to provide lots of coverage, but also hopefully in depth enough to provide a little bit of detail and behind the scenes about how the sausage is made.
I think it did. And what I hold on to is don't overreact, because I think we live in a world that loves to do that and loves to overreact to every bit of news that we see, especially relative to Pitt and what our folks care about. Alan, I want to ask you this one. This is a little bit more of a direct question, a combination of two questions, if you'll allow. I assume you don't take this job unless you feel you have an opportunity to keep Pitt at the top in terms of competing not only in the ACC and nationally. What does that look like? And probably more importantly, how do Pitt fans, how do supporters, how do they help in that regard, especially with all the winds of change surrounding us?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And I think the best way to articulate it is, let's put what we do in college athletics, at least at Pitt, right, in two buckets. Let's put it into the business model bucket that is more business-esque. So a la football and men's basketball. And then let's put our operations into the enterprise bucket. And that would be any other sport that, you know, I'd put volleyball in there too, into the revenue piece. And then the other sports that aren't generating revenue, that goes into a different bucket. So from the business side of what we do, we've got to treat our operation more as a business, which means that we are going to make more transactional decisions. That is in large part antithetical to why I got into this business, but it's the realities of where we are. And if we're going to be in the game, let's play the game. I think we are very fortunate here at Pitt that we have a chancellor in Joan Gable, and we have a board led by John Verbanek, who are very supportive of athletics, who understand that we are the front porch, as our chancellor says, and we are the largest marketing arm for the institution. Therefore, it only makes sense that we ensure that football and men's basketball in particular are successful, not just in the league, but in the conference. And it also produces pride in our city, right? Like we are the city of champions. We love winning championships. Our community is used to winning championships, and we want to be able to provide that sense of pride for them. On the flip side, we make more enterprise decisions for everybody else, which is what most people would consider the traditional model of college athletics. And so they're not necessarily transactional decisions, transactional approach. It's all, no matter whether it's the business decisions or transactional decisions, it's all about our student athletes. But we have to understand what drives the train and what gives us the opportunity to support our entire department and what gives us the opportunity to support our university and our community. And that is through the main mechanisms of football and basketball. But we want all of our student athletes to have a memorable, dynamic experience where they can call Pitt their forever home.
And I would imagine, Alan, just to follow up, that fan support, donor support is more important now than probably ever.
You know, so we've talked about, and I've been in this industry for, I don't know, 20 plus years, and we've always talked about talent acquisition. The name of the game in college athletics is about recruiting. That is the biggest differentiator of what we have versus professional sports. What talent acquisition looks like has evolved over the years. And right now that talent acquisition is incredibly transactional. It used to be about scholarships and about facilities and about some of the shiny stuff. And it went from, you know, glitz and glam to green. And right now the best way that we can acquire talent, and that really the national landscape acquires talent, is through money. So we are paying student athletes, and that's the name of the game. So our differentiator is the passion of our fans. Our differentiator is our ability as a department to squeeze all the juice out of the orange we can from being really responsible with our expenses, and then also having the university help us with those expenses. And rev share obviously is a real thing. And in order for us to be competitive at the highest level, we have to rev share at the highest level. And in some cases, depending on the set of circumstances, we may have to provide more resources, more cash, more money to student athletes to to acquire their talents, if you will. So what our, in my mind, from a fan perspective, the things that they can do to support this and to enjoy their experience when they come to the Pete or when they come to Acrisure Stadium is make sure that you buy your season tickets. Make sure that if you have a couple extra nickels to rub together, that you make a contribution to the athletics department. You make a philanthropic donation. Give a little bit above and beyond. Every little bit matters. And as we know, as long as people can do a little bit more, then it's going to create even more of an advantage for us. And that's not, you know, that by and large is the nomenclature across the board. We're seeing some schools put in additional fees on their tickets. We're seeing some schools set up certain funds that go directly to support student athletes and NIL and rev share. And we're no different. We're in that same boat doing the same thing. And so it's really going to come down to desire from the Pittsburgh community, from the university leadership to athletic department leadership to community leadership. If we can get all those three things humming at the same time, then we're going to have a tremendous opportunity to generate a lot of pride for our community.
Last one for Pitt Director of Athletics, Alan Green, and we appreciate your time this early Saturday morning, bringing this thing full circle to those listening saying, man, this is NFL light, this is NBA light. You said something the other night at an event that struck a chord with me and I think everyone in the room, that these young people, A, they're still young people. B, that they're likely going to need not only the values and the experience they get at Pitt. They're going to need that in life beyond whatever sport they play. But they need leadership now more than ever. How is the transactional side of the business, with it being there, it doesn't necessarily take away from the college athletic experience that we've all come to know to love?
Yeah, so I think I won't admit to seeing rom-coms, but I'm sure you will, Pat. So, Pat, remember the last time you watched a rom-com and, you know, there's a bet, right, to see if a guy can get a girl. And, you know, he bets his buddies, and so the guy does all these things to try to, you know, woo this girl. And in that process, he ends up falling in love with her, right? She finds out it was a bet. He's like, no, I know it was, but now I love you. it's very similar to that. And trust me, I'm a terrible analogist, so forgive me. But but if you think about the transaction piece is getting them here. The relational piece is once they get here. And once they get here, they are just like our children. They are 18, sometimes 17. I was going to say the 22-year-olds sometimes are older than that. But they are still forming. And if we think back to those of us who are older, if we think back to when we were that age and how we thought we knew everything, we thought we were indestructible, we needed people to help support us. That is our purpose. That is our mission. That's why we do what we do. The transactional piece is a very small piece of the puzzle. That is the entrance point. But we spend the next 365 days a year developing these young people. And I try to tell people also, and for those of us who are fortunate to have a front row seat to these young men and women, just because they run fast, jump high, have big muscles, can throw far, that doesn't mean that they're adults. And that doesn't mean that they're professional athletes. They're still kids and they're still developing. And money doesn't make you grow up necessarily, and doesn't provide you a fully developed frontal lobe. So we still have a responsibility and an obligation. And our young people need us to have that responsibility and obligation to make sure that we are developing them for life. And that's why we do what we do every day.